Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, the question that Jesus asks in the gospel is a question that's ringing in my own head, and that question is, what do you want me to do for you? We're going to look at it in context, but what do you want me to do for you? Because Jesus asks us that. He really does. What do you want me to do? We have to think. You know, we want to say, just get rid of this. Just give me this. That's all we say so often in our prayers. Get rid of this or give me this. But if we really stop and say, Jesus is asking me what he can do for me, what should I be asking for? That I may be in eternal life with you forever. That you may use me in this life to serve others and bring them closer to you. Those are the kinds of things we should be asking for, and God will answer them. The healing of our families, especially our children, our grandchildren. Ask for those things. Lord, help me. Do for me what I cannot do for them, and teach me the part you want me to play. Step by step, he takes us. He never gives us the whole battle plan, because if he did, we'd take it in another direction. We'd think, oh, well, that's a good idea, but I think I have a better idea. You know how we are. And so God gives us one step at a time, because he wants to teach us. He wants to draw us into intimate communion with him. From that posture, that's the best place to be for everything in life. So let's take a look at these readings, and we'll say a little more about that question, what do you want me to do for you? The first reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must happen soon. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who gives witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ by reporting what he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud, and blessed are those who listen to this prophetic message and heed what is written in it, for the appointed time is near. Church, always at this time, is it brings us to the end of the church year, not the calendar year, but the church year. It ends with the Feast of Christ the King in November, and then the beginning of the new church year is the first Sunday of Advent. So this is a time in the church year where we're saying, take a look at who you are and take a look at where you're going. Blessed is the one who reads aloud. And blessed are those who listen to this prophetic message and heed what is written in it, for the appointed time is near. John, to the seven churches in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. I heard the Lord saying to me, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write this, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and walks in the midst of the seven gold lampstands, says this, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate the wicked. You have tested those who call themselves apostles but are not, and discovered that they are impostors. Moreover, you have endurance, you have suffered for my name, and you have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have lost the love you had it first. We start out by saying, God, I love you with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then as time goes on, and we may be doing very religious things, we may be working for the church actively, we may be teaching theology, we may be teaching philosophy, we may be doing all kinds of things to advance the kingdom of God. But why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it for his honor and glory, or doing it for my own? If I receive honor and glory, I turn it back to the Lord and say, Lord, this belongs to you. Thank you very much for letting me share in it. You don't have to deny that it's there. Thank him. But you're sharing in his goodness. You're sharing in his wisdom. You're not the source. None of us. is the source, though we act like we are. Jesus says to them, "You have endurance and have suffered for my name, and you have not grown weary." He's grateful for all these things. "Yet I hold this against you. You have lost the love you had at first. Am I doing what I'm doing for the right reasons? Or have I just given in to the world and its values? Or have I given in to the self agenda, I call it? What's in it for me? What do I get out of this?" You have lost the love you had at first. When you love somebody, you know it even in human earthly love, when you love somebody and your love is very active and very real and very alive, you'd do anything for them. I've seen husbands and wives do that for one another. I've seen great and good friendships do that for one another. Are we doing it for the Lord? "I give you my whole life, Lord. Belongs to you, it came from you, and it will return to you. And I want my life to glorify you every moment of every day. And though that be my desire, I'm still weak and sinful, so please forgive me for the times when I don't live out of that motive." Let that be your prayer. God says to people like us who have fallen away, realize how far you have fallen. Repent. Repent, and then do the works that you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. I will take away from you the right and the privilege of being my disciple if you refuse to repent, unless you repent. Brothers and sisters, we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And that's what we will be for all eternity, sons and daughters of God. You don't want the light removed from you. You want to be part of the family of God. You want to follow him. If you don't, ask God to give you the strength to change. This is the only place where there is genuine peace and love and joy, even amidst persecution. Even amidst persecution. Psalm 1, "Those who are victorious I will feed from the tree of life." And what makes us victorious? We don't follow the counsel of the wicked. We don't walk in the way of sinners. We may sin, but we don't walk in their company. Or walk in the way of sinners, nor sit in the company of the insolent. We delight in God's word. We delight in God's commandments. We meditate on his law day and night. Do we? What's the first thing you read in the morning? What's the last thing you read at night? When do you stop in the middle of the day to read his word or to listen to this program? He meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season, whose leaves never fades. Whatever he does prospers. Why? Because he's tied into the tree of life. He's not drawing on his own strength. She's not drawing on her own power. She's embedded in Christ. And everything comes from him. "Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes." It does, brothers and sisters. It will vanish. The way of the just remains forever. The just are those who seek to follow the Lord and repent when they fail. It's simple. Very hard, but it's simple. When I say it's very hard, it's not very hard to do. It's very hard to consistently do. Because it goes against our human flesh, against our sinful nature. But God triumphs and God will supply everything we need to overcome it. We just have to come to him every moment. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. "As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was happening. And they told him, 'Jesus of Nazareth is passing by.'" That caused a lot of excitement, in some reverence and a lot curiosity, but definitely excitement. And he shouted, this blind man shouted, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. That's often how I pray. Jesus, have mercy on me. Help me. Show me. And he does. Little ways. It's often hidden. It's not he comes with a trumpet blast and pulls down a scroll to tell you what he'll do for you. But in little ways, he guides and directs. And after a while, you begin to sense it. And there's a growing sense of fellowship with the Lord, growing sense of a call to deeper and deeper friendship with God. The people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he kept calling out all the more, Son of David, have pity on me. And then Jesus stopped, and he ordered that he be brought to him. See, he was crying out genuinely, please have mercy on me, please have pity on me. God will never refuse that. Even though probably the disciples are saying, come on, come on, come on, let's keep moving. He stopped. And he ordered that he be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus knew what he wanted. But he wants him to voice it. He wants him to say it. And that's true for you and me. When we say, Jesus, help me, Jesus is often saying, what do you want me to do for you? And it takes courage sometimes to say, Lord, I want to be holy, and I know I'm not. Convict me of my sins. Show me where I'm wrong. Help me to get onto the right path and stay on the right path. That's being honest with God, and God will do it. What do you want me to do for you? And he replied, Lord, please let me see. Totally dependent in those days. You didn't have all that you have for the blind now, and even then it's a severe hardship. But he didn't have anything. Please let me see. How simple and how direct. And Jesus told him, have sight. Your faith has saved you. Why was it faith? Because he came to the only one who could help. He came to the source of all help. We turn so often, we turn to everything else first. And then if all that fails, then in our desperation, we turn to God. Turn to God first. He may do it through a person. He may do it through a medical procedure. He may exercise all his options, so to speak. But it's from him, so turn to him first. He immediately received his sight and followed him. That's why Jesus healed him. He knew he had faith, he said. He immediately received his sight and followed him, giving glory to God. And when they saw this, all the people gave praise to God. When God does something for you, do you acknowledge it? Do you go to the nearest church and thank him? Do you go to Mass more frequently to thank him? Do you pass on his goodness to others by doing good things for others? There are many ways to help the blind see. It's not all physical. What are you doing to help those around you who are crying out, Lord, help me? Brothers and sisters, may God use you and bless you to build his kingdom. Amen. I have been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.